Now Boarding, the official boarding area podcast, would like to welcome aboard all listeners. This nonstop service includes interviews, reviews, and insights from our talented crew of bloggers. Episode number 20 is Now Boarding.
Joining Captain Ed Pizza in the cockpit on today's episode is Nick Reyes from the blog Frequent Miler.
Make sure those tray tables are stowed, your seats are in the upright position. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Now Boarding Podcast, where we talk shop with the best minds in travel. Whether you're looking to get to Orlando or Australia, we've got those covered and everything in between. Our guest this week is Nick Reyes from the Frequent Miler. Before we bring Nick on, I want to take a quick moment to ask you to help us out by subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening, such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get access to our show for free as soon as we publish a new episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave us a rating and a comment in that platform as well, like Apple Podcasts or SoundCloud. We read all of your comments, and by subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us reach out to more listeners, which is definitely our goal. Nick was on my Miles to Go podcast recently talking about the City Prestige card and some of the doomsday changes, if you will, there. Nick, thanks a bunch for hopping on to the Now Boarding podcast with me.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Excited about it.
You are hanging out in upstate New York today?
I sure am. Yeah. Beautiful scenic upstate New York where it's gorgeous and lots of mountains and sunshine during the summer and cold and snowy all winter long. So I'm looking out the window at snow right now.
Yeah, I used to work up that way, and I used to tell people, you know, upstate New York, where it snows in feet, not inches.
Absolutely, it's the truth.
So I know you, like me, you're starting to become a bit of a family traveler with a young one at home, and we'll certainly, you know, dig into that a little bit more because I'm sure you and I can start sharing war stories.
But before we already,
yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's true.
Our very first trip, I remember the war stories. but before we get too deep into the family side of things. I don't actually know the answer to this. So I'll be curious to hear, and I know the listeners would as well. Tell me how you got down this crazy rabbit hole of the travel world.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and it kind of, for me, I kind of feel like I get bit by the travel bug, and then it incubated for a long time before I actually got infected with the disease. I say that because I think as a kid, I first became kind of curious when my grandparents gave me a globe that lit up and it had all these strange names and places. And I'm sure it wasn't meant to inspire me to want to travel the world because most of my extended family is not particularly interested in international travel. It was more of an educational thing, but it kind of made me curious. And then really there were two big turning points. When I was a teenager, about 10 years after that, in high school, sophomore, I got the fortunate opportunity to attend the Hobie World Leadership Congress, which is a leadership conference that happens each year. And so I got to spend a week with kids representing all 50 states and 32 foreign countries. And, you know, being from upstate New York and not having traveled much, I think my travel experience at that point extended to Pennsylvania and Ontario, Canada. And that was about it. It was interesting to all of a sudden be surrounded by kids from exotic places like Oklahoma and Alabama. and in my small group, we had a girl from South Africa and one from Germany and one from Malaysia and a kid from Argentina. My roommate was from Panama. I remember sitting at an assembly and we were doing this silly chant about to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. And the guy next to me was from Sierra Leone. And he asked me, what does it mean to be enthusiastic? And trying to explain that concept to somebody was challenging, you know, for 16-year-old me. And it was eye-opening to me because I suddenly learned that people from all around the world, wherever they were from, seemed to really enjoy laughing and smiling and sharing a little bit of themselves. And that was something I just didn't know because I was a kid and I just didn't have very much experience with people from other places. So that really made me curious about the world in a different way because I saw all these kids from different places that my 16-year-old mind viewed as not getting along because, you know, I learned about history in school through mostly the history of war, I guess. So I didn't imagine kids from varying places around the Middle East getting along or different places in Europe. And suddenly everybody was. And so that made me very curious. And about 10 years after that, finally, my wife, now girlfriend at the time, said, you know what? I hate my job. You hate your job. Let's quit our jobs and go somewhere and live abroad and teach English for a little while. And that was well before miles and points. So we spent about a year just living on $4 an hour and traveling as much as we could. And that really is where it finally manifested itself. And then we were hooked. And for the last 10 years, she's been my partner in crime and travel partner. And we visited 50 something countries and most of the United States in that last 10 years where we caught the bug and said, wow, this is something amazing. We need to do more of this. And that led me to miles and points.
That's an awesome story. I never knew that. I mean, you know, you and I have hung out a time or two and certainly know enough about how you travel, but I didn't know that. It's just a great story. So you guys were traveling abroad, you know, packed everything up and just went abroad and taught English.
Yeah. You know, we each took a course to get certified to do it. And we didn't know where we wanted to go. And there was a girl in my course that I took in like the Albany, New York area who had had friends from Albany because they had taught in Ecuador. She was from Ecuador and she taught English. She spoke English well, but she wanted to go somewhere else and she needed a certification. So she had flown to Albany because that's where she knew people to take the class. So she was in my class and she said, you know what? You guys ought to come to Ecuador. I can help you find a place to teach and blah, blah, blah. And we knew nothing about Ecuador. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know, you know, what the cities were. I didn't know they used US dollars. I think I assumed that they spoke Spanish, but didn't really know. But she was convincing and I knew her for 60 hours during this class. And she said, oh, you ought to give it a try. And so we flew there and we were on the plane. And I remember we were on the plane on the way to Quito and we said, what are we going to do if she doesn't show up at the airport?
Yeah. Cause at that point you probably don't have a cell phone. And if you did, it probably wouldn't have worked.
No, exactly. You know, is hotel in Spanish hotel? I can't remember. So, you know, it was an interesting introduction and kind of beginning, to doing it. And that, definitely transformed into, you know, discovering more ways to do it. Because in the beginning, it was just we had to stay at the cheapest hostel we could find and jump on the cheapest airfare we could find. And miles and points certainly changed that eventually when we discovered that part.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So this was, I assume, you know, I would call it, you know, backpack living per se, but hostels and
everything. Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
To live on a budget. Because, I mean, I do remember working for $4 an hour, but it was very long time ago. Probably a lot longer ago for me than it was for you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was about 10 years ago now, 10 years ago last month that we did that. And at that point in my life, we had one credit card and we didn't use it very much. It was just a Capital One Venture card. And we thought we were great earning our, you know, 2 miles per dollar, so to speak, and not leveraging benefits of any sort. And so, it was a very different experience because, you know, we went from some places we stayed where we have pictures and I can look back and laugh at the paint peeling from the walls and the bed bugs that I remember, and things like that, that we can look back and laugh at now. We didn't necessarily laugh all the time back then, but, you know, now of course, miles and points have taken us to some incredibly luxurious places and we've stayed in suites that, you know, would have cost $2,000 a night, that we never would have dreamed of back then. But I think it's nice because it gave us an appreciation for both ends and a love for travel. And not necessarily only a love for the hotel lounge and the first class experience, but rather a love for visiting a place and experiencing a place. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy having a much more comfortable bed nowadays so I can be rested and enjoy that place. But it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree that travel changes. And I think, you know, kids brings another variable into it because you may go from a budget travel as a younger folks to more exotic travel and luxurious travel if you discover the wonderful world of miles and points. And then, you know, once kids get back into the equation, it can become something more of a budget equation and make sure that you can still visit all the places you want to visit.
Sure. Yeah, it definitely does. You're right about that. And my wife and I had our first earlier this year. He's going to be 10 months old in just a couple of days here. And it certainly does change things a little bit in the respect of, you know, how we're going to do it, how many miles and points we need, what kind of places we need as far as space for him. You know, suddenly a Hyatt Place looks much more attractive because there's a much bigger space. So there's a place where I can put his pack and play and kind of keep him separate, you know, versus staying in the Park Hyatt and having perhaps a smaller room for a lot more points. So there are definitely some ways it's changed. But on the flip side, it also is very exciting because neither my wife nor I traveled much as kids. And now we look at the opportunity to kind of show our son the world. And that's really exciting. We've talked about maybe homeschooling him. I'd read a an article years ago about a teacher, a couple of teachers, a married couple that had taken their kids out of school for a year to take a bicycle trip from the northern tip of Alaska to the southern tip of Argentina, teaching their kids history by visiting places and math through currency conversions and things like that. So having miles and points kind of excites us because it makes us think of opportunities like that to help our son discover the world. And I know I just said show him, but in some ways it's that discovery that is magical, I think, and was awesome for us as adults, but it's going to be equally as incredible to see it kind of develop on a kid's face. But of course, there's some challenges too. We really stink at traveling with a kid so far. I'd say he's doing very well. I'd give him like a B plus, but I'd give his mom and I probably a D minus in our capability of traveling with a little one. We're just not very good at packing the right stuff and planning it in a way that makes sense for him yet. We're getting there.
Every parent is horrible at family travel when they start. And yeah, this is absolutely.
Does it get better? Does it get better?
Oh, you learn lessons. No question. But you have to learn most of them the hard way. I mean, you'll listen to friends and you'll hear stuff and you'll do better. But, and you know, this is mostly a podcast about you guys. So I won't dig too deeply into my side other than to say that, you know, we had a luggage cart full of bags and another suitcase I was pulling behind when we took our 6-month-old daughter on our first trip, which was a 1.5-hour flight for a 4-day trip. And I vividly remember paying $20 for a single diaper when we had a diverted flight in Miami a number of years ago. And we landed at midnight and we ran out of diapers because the rest of them were in the check bags.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I picked up a couple of tips from you when we talked at an event a while back. And one of them was to make sure that I had plenty of diapers. And another one was to make sure I had plenty of Ziploc bags. And those tips have come in handy. Very, very handy so far already. So, and it also makes me feel better to hear about how much you packed because our first real big trip with him so far this year anyway was a trip we took to Mexico. We went to Los Cabos and stayed at the Hyatt there and spent a little time in California. And we were packing and our son was about 20 pounds and I weighed his bag and it was 63. I thought to myself, how can this tiny little human require this much stuff? But you have to think about it in a different way than you do when you're just traveling with the two of you. So it's been an adjustment. It's a lot of fun though.
Was that the Hyatt Ziva down in Los Cabos?
It was, yeah. It was a great use of credit card benefits. And that one actually stacked the City Prestige fourth night free with a best rate guarantee so that I was able to take advantage of both getting the fourth night free and using Hyatt's best rate guarantee. So that was nice. And we had never stayed at an all-inclusive before. And I had no idea what a great vacation that is with a little kid because, you know, if somebody gets cranky at dinner, if my son gets cranky, surely my wife wouldn't get cranky at dinner. If my son got cranky at dinner, you know, then we could leave and we could order room service. We could eat somewhere else, different time. I've certainly learned that your schedule is dictated by the baby at this stage of life. So you can't really pick and choose much. He really chooses when things happen. And that's an all-inclusive was great for that. It's a perfect setting for that because, you know, we were able to just really relax and enjoy ourselves. So it was our first experience doing that. I don't think I ever really envisioned an all-inclusive being my thing, but I thought it was an awesome first, you know, passport stamp for our son in the sense that he got to see a new place. We had to take him out and see a little bit around the resort, but yet we still had all of the comforts and easy stuff we needed with a baby.
Yeah, we stayed there before the hurricane obliterated that property and really enjoyed it. I would say from a family standpoint, it's probably the best all-inclusive I've stayed at with the family for pretty much all the reasons that you suggest. I was actually shockingly surprised at how good the food was in the buffet restaurant. We ate most of our meals there as opposed to the a la carte. But, you know, as you say, as you transition to family travel, things like that can be huge benefits.
Yeah, they really can. You know, when we didn't actually end up eating at the buffet apart from breakfast, because we tried the different a la carte restaurants and were enjoying them and it was going well for the most part. So we didn't. But I also was really surprised at how good the food was. I think I went in with pretty low expectations, kind of imagining that all inclusives all had, you know, a very, you know, low quality buffet food that wasn't going to, you know, be very good. And I thought, oh, is my stomach going to be great with that for, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 days or however long we were spending. And it turned out it was really good. The food was, I'd say, you know, certainly above average and the service was terrific. So it made for a great trip.
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed it there. I can't wait to get back there at some point. It's certainly some places on our list, although there's obviously all those other places to explore. And we've got more to explore in our podcast with Nick from the Frequent Miler. We're going to step away for our first break. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about how Nick got roped into the world of blogging, the topics that he considers himself an expert on. And we'll obviously finish up with some lightning questions. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast. Hey, well, we're taking a break from the show. I wanted to tell you about a new travel podcast that one of my friends just launched. The We Travel There podcast covers a different destination each week in 30 minutes or less. The host, Lee Huffman, finds experts on each area and does a deep dive into each destination. We Travel There will help you find the best surfing spots on Oahu and the Penguin Parade in Melbourne, Australia. He's already covered a couple of my favorite places to visit, like Hong Kong and Vancouver. Find We Travel There on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back with Nick Reyes on the Now Boarding Podcast. And as Nick and I were transitioning through the break, he shared with me a funny story about his daughter, his son, and the first ever diaper blowout. Every family has one. So share with folks your badge of honor joining our club.
Well, you know, we had been visiting the Hyatt Ziva in Mexico, and we had a relatively short flight, I guess, from there to San Jose, California, 3 hours or so anyway, shorter than across country, maybe 2.5, something like that. And, you know, of course, the fear as a parent is that your child is going to have a major diaper blowout in flight. And so we were really relieved because about 10 minutes before we went to board, he had a major blowout in the airport, which is a much better place to have it, I guess. So we had to change his whole outfit and the whole nine yards in the lounge bathroom before we got on the plane. But then we were really relaxed getting on the plane. We said, okay, great. You know, it's done. It's over. We're going to make it. And this will be a smooth, easy flight, smooth sailing. And, you know, of course, on the way up, I started to smell something and I was like, maybe something happened there. And you know, we kind of got up to the point where they turned off the seatbelt light. And I told my wife, I think maybe he went again. And she said, no, that's not possible. I said, I think maybe he did. And so I went to pick him up and I didn't have to wonder for very long because it was all over the seat and all over his leg and what a mess. And so we went to bring him to the back to change him. And of course, the flight attendant there said no, that on this plane, and I think it's somewhat common on some of the 737s, I guess, the only changing table is in the front lavatory. So that meant, you know, the walk of shame carrying this baby who is fairly messy, wearing shorts, so it wasn't pretty, and carry him all the way up through all of the aisles up to the front. And as any parent knows, sometimes that kind of a change is really a two-person job, you know, especially in one of those small labs. You're working on a changing table that's got no belt or anything. And so I was up there setting it all up for her, and she brings him in. And then, of course, the flight attendant comes and tells us we can't both stand there because you can't congregate at the front of the plane. It's a security issue. And so I asked her how much of his poop she wanted all over the lav because it was going to be impossible to do that as one person. But she told me that only one could be there. So she, to her credit, the flight attendant helped my wife. And I will give her a lot of credit because it was not a pretty sight at all. So I got out of that one. My wife said, I've got this. It's fine. Go ahead. And I didn't argue very hard. Went back to my seat and they made it happen. But it was an experience to remember.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. Every parent has joined that club at one point or another. So we know that you know how to change a diaper at this point. Aside from that, you know, tell folks what sort of topics they can rely on you on for the best advice. If they're out there trying to figure out how to get their questions answered, why should they be following you and paying attention to what you're writing on Frequent Miler?
Sure. Well, you know, on Frequent Miler, we focus on earning miles without flying. That's kind of the tagline for us. All the various ways that you can earn miles apart from flying and paying for things that you don't necessarily want to pay for or need. So we focus on ways to stack deals. And, you know, perhaps you have a credit card that has a certain benefit or is earning a category bonus. And we'll talk about how to stack that and use a shopping portal and shop through a store that gives you the right category bonus. Or we'll talk about other new things that come up and pop up, ways to earn miles and points cheaply. And we focus on manufacturer spending techniques, ways to spend in order to increase your miles and points and then get as much of the money back as you can. Maybe not every penny, but as close to getting your money back as you can. So we really focus on earning as much as possible. And I have been earning for quite a long time. In fact, when I finally got into miles and points, discovered this world, I spent about a year just studying without even opening up credit cards, just studying and trying to learn how it all worked. And surely I thought I learned a lot and then discovered that there was a lot more I didn't know. But after that year, I started opening credit cards, and we spent about 1 year collecting miles and points. And at the end of that year, we got married and took a four-month honeymoon. We traveled to, I think, 18 different countries around the world over the course of 4 months, and it was almost entirely paid for on the miles and points we earned in just 1 year. And it's very possible to do that. It certainly that took some time and effort and work, and not everyone is going to earn enough points for something like that within a year. But the point is that we'll show you the methods and ways to be able to do that if you want to do that, or if you're just looking to take one vacation a year and stay more comfortably and fly more comfortably and go to a destination that you didn't think you can afford. Our blog is focused on finding ways to earn you the miles so that you can do that.
Yeah, and I think I'd add, you know, where I find the most value with Frequent Miler as a whole is I think it's you know, there's like the seven circles of hell. And so there's the seven circles of learning the mile world. And I think, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that you guys cover where folks can figure out the basic, like the next step. Here's the next card I want to get. Here's the next sign up bonus I want to maximize. Here's the next promo I want to try. And then if they dip their toe in, and that's what I tell folks frequently when I mention your site, is, you know, like, hey, like once you've dipped the toe in, if you're looking for more, you know, they've got levels. Like, all right, if you really want to get crazy, here's how to stack, you know, some cash back on top of this other offer. Here's how to, you know, stack these two or three things together. And so I think that you guys do a good job of sort of guiding people down the path for how difficult they want to get with the information that they want to learn.
Sure. Yeah. And I think if I consider myself an expert on something, I would hope that it's in explaining those different levels, because there are a wide range of different people who are just looking to save a little bit or earn a few miles for this, or people who want to stack a little bit more and a little bit more. And I try to write things from that perspective of, okay, this is what you can do. And then you can go a step further and do this and a step further and do that in order to really increase your savings or increase your earnings. And so I try to look and think outside the box a little bit. I mentioned earlier stacking the City Prestige fourth night free with a best rate guarantee, which is something that I think was somewhat of an out the box kind of an idea, in the sense that I knew that if I booked through the Prestige Concierge over the phone, that it counted as a direct booking in terms of earning loyalty points and being able to use your loyalty benefits. So I figured, well, that must mean that on the hotel side, it seems like a direct booking. And so if that's the case, maybe I can also do a best rate guarantee after the fact and still get my fourth night free rebate. And be able to stack two things, and doing that with a chain like Hilton or Marriott means that you'll save 25% on the rate that you had originally booked. If you find a best rate guarantee, they'll cut 25% off of the low rate that you find. Then if you also get a fourth night free on top of that, then the savings become quite large, 50% or more perhaps over the direct rate. And so I focus on finding things like that, okay, well, what else can I do? How else can I stack it? Now, can I pay for that and link my card to some other program and earn a few more miles by linking it to something? So that's the type of thing that we try to focus on.
And I think the biggest takeaway there for folks who are tuning in and hearing Nick for the first time is, you know, you don't have to go all the way. Start basic, sure. And figure out how many steps are comfortable for you. But I think the right thing to do is get on the path. And once you're on the path, you can figure out how crazy you want to be. Some of us are pretty nutso in this world. But, you know, there's no specific correct level of craziness. But you definitely should be earning more points than you are today. That's the case for almost everyone. Even somebody like me who's got 40 credit cards in his wallet, I'm sure there are ways I could be maximizing that I'm not taking care of right now.
Right. And certainly that's something that we try to focus on maximizing. If you're going to spend some money anyway, if you have to make a purchase, how can we maximize that and earn a good number of points? And then, like you said, there are different things for different people, different levels, different deals. You know, we write about a lot of different quick deals. One of my main jobs at Frequent Miler is writing quick deals. So every day I typically write four or five, just different types of deals that might save you $5 here, $10 there. Maybe it'll be a huge savings or a big hit on miles somewhere else. And not every deal applies to every person. So I definitely don't expect a reader to come to the site and read through every single post and take advantage of every single deal, but rather we try to hit a range of different things so that if you're looking for a deal on a rental car or on a hotel, or you're looking for an Amex offer, or you want to find out how to save money on Amazon, we try to post a wide range of those different things so you can dial into the things that really matter to you and apply to your life.
Yep, couldn't agree more. All right, well, we're going to step away for our last break. We're going to bring Nick back for one more segment, zip him through some lightning questions, and then boot him on back out the door to find us some more great deals. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast.
The Now Boarding Podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. There are flight crews, sports teams, and business executives all around the world that sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today.
Back to wrap up this week's episode of the Now Boarding Podcast with Nick Reyes from Frequent Miler with some lightning questions. All right, Nick, greatest place you've ever visited?
You know, the greatest place I've ever visited, it's funny because my wife and I took a 4-month honeymoon and we visited about 18 different countries or so, as I mentioned before. And we were on the plane on our way to the last destination. And we said, you know, all of our friends and family are going to ask, what was your favorite place? And we didn't have one because we liked every place we'd been. And that last place was South Africa, the place we were on our way to. And when we got done with South Africa, we said, hands down, absolutely the best. There's just nothing that matches driving around Kruger National Park and coming around a corner and seeing a rhinoceros in the middle of the road, or seeing a cheetah, or seeing a leopard. And again, they're things you just happen upon. So it seems very just by fate, the way that you find different animals or see different things and you're on your own. So that's an incredible experience that I definitely wouldn't trade for anything. So I think that's probably the coolest place I've ever visited.
I am jealous. I still have not made it to South Africa yet. It's definitely on the list to bring the kids and to do some safaris as well.
Got
to
do it.
All right. Favorite credit card. And hint, I'm pretty sure it's not the City Prestige anymore.
Definitely not the City Prestige anymore. But, you know, when you ask favorite credit card, it's a little tough because there's favorite credit cards for benefits and favorite credit cards for spending. I always say like a card like the Prestige, for instance, is good for benefits. You get a card like that usually for the benefits and you get a different card for spending. They're changing things up a bit with the way they're going to bonus things. But so maybe that card will be an interesting difference in the future. But I think I would say my favorite card for benefits right now is the Hilton Aspire card. And not everybody's talking about it, I guess, but I think that the benefits on that card are fantastic. A $250 a year airline incidental credit, which, you know, if you think outside the box a little bit on ways to use that, it's pretty easy to get pretty close to your full 250 value out of that. And we maintain a page with what works and what doesn't work for triggering that credit. Then also a $250 a year resort credit at Hilton Resorts. And so that's valuable if you like to stay at Hilton Resorts. And even if you don't, if you plan a trip for next year, you might even be able to prepay part of your trip to take advantage of your credit every year. So that's, you know, somewhere in the range of $400 to $500 in value. It's $500 in credits with those two benefits. And then it also comes with an annual free weekend night at almost any Hilton in the world. And so certainly if you use that in a place like New York City or London or San Francisco, that could be incredibly valuable as well. So I think that card just offers outsized value in the benefits. And those are just a couple of the benefits. There's more that comes with it. So I think that's my favorite from a benefit standpoint. But from a spending standpoint, you know, I work for a manufactured spending blog, basically, right? We talk a lot about finding ways to generate points. So the Ink Cash and Ink Plus, whichever version you happen to have, the Ink Plus is no longer available for new applicants, but the Ink Cash is. It earns 5 points per dollar at office supply stores. And that's certainly the one that I pull out of my wallet the most often, I would say.
Awesome. I love it. I think you're of the 20 folks or so that we've had from Boarding Area on the blog, I think you're the first one to say Hilton Aspire is a favorite. So that's a good one for folks to hear a little bit more about. How about favorite airline?
Favorite airline? Well, so domestically, my favorite airline is Southwest, because the Southwest Companion Pass is just hands down the best value in family travel, I would say. Every time I fly, my wife flies with me for free. Whether I use points to book my ticket, or I use cash to book my ticket, or she uses her points to book my ticket, she comes for free with the Southwest Companion Pass. So domestically, I like that. I love Southwest. Personally, I know not everyone likes the open seating policy. I like it. I like the family boarding policy. I find the employees to generally be friendly and happy and enjoy their jobs. So domestically, it's Southwest. But internationally, I would say probably Singapore Airlines. The service and the first class product with Singapore is absolutely amazing. I've flown a number of the Middle Eastern carriers. They're, you know, glitzy and glamorous as well. But I really felt like top to bottom, the whole Singapore experience, from their lounge, check-in to the lounge, to the flight, to the champagne, to the other wines they carried on board, was just absolutely incredible. And it's always a strange switch when I come back to the United States on something like Singapore, and then, you know, my positioning flight to get back home is on Southwest. It's always a bit of a dichotomy there. But I'd say that it's kind of two. I know you asked for favorite. I gave you two favorites.
I'm okay with two favorites. And I think those are two great favorites. I wish Southwest had a stronger network out of my home airport of Washington Dulles, because I do love them, especially for family travel. And a side note and shameless plug, if you're a Southwest fan, check out the Miles to Go podcast, my other podcast, because I have interviews coming up with Jonathan Clarkson, who heads up the Rapid Rewards program there. We're gonna string him up and ask him some tough questions. All right, favorite hotel chain?
My favorite hotel chain is Hilton. I mean, I mentioned the Aspire being my favorite credit card. My favorite chain is Hilton, and that's not a popular choice among the blogosphere, I imagine. Yeah, because the loyalty program doesn't offer the outsized value that some other loyalty programs do. Sort of, anyway, I guess. But they offer so many points per dollar with their different promotions. I just had this stay at the Conrad in Fort Lauderdale, and I was able to use my $250 resort credit and an Amex offer together. So I put $350 on my credit card, and I got $320 of that back, and yet I still earned 50 points per dollar, 54 points per dollar, I think, overall.
Wow.
on that spend. So I like Hilton for that, because I think that some of their promos are terrific. But more importantly for me, I think that there are some really cool aspirational properties in some of the chains out there, but I'm not going to stay in those every time. I love to stay in them when I can. But at the end of the day, I love to travel. And so the hotel for me is a room with a bed almost anywhere. So what differentiates for me is customer service. And I find that the customer service at Hilton's is much more consistent than my experiences in any other chain. I just consistently get a fantastic customer service experience almost every time. And maybe that's just luck, but I have to think that that's at least partially training. And so that's why I'm a big Hilton fan.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's certainly not the most popular choice we hear, but I think that's the great thing about having the variety of bloggers on the podcast, is so people can hear the different focus points. And I think there are a lot of great reasons to like Hilton. All right, let's wrap up with one place that's still on your bucket list. Given how much you traveled when you were teaching English, I'll be curious to hear what's left. Where haven't you visited that's high on your list?
Well, I always feel like there's a huge list of places I haven't visited, but probably the place on my list that I've been curious about for the longest and haven't yet been to is Argentina. I've always wanted to go to Buenos Aires. My wife and I have taken some tango lessons, but we certainly aren't any good at it, but I would love to just be able to go. And I have this picture in my mind that I'm sure isn't even accurate of, you know, a hot summertime day in Argentina and in Buenos Aires, or going down to Patagonia as well. That's a really fascinating experience to me, anyway, in my mind. So I think that's probably the country and city that I'm most interested in, but yet not planning a trip. I have trips all next year planned, and not going anywhere near South America next year. 2020, I hope to get to the Olympics in Japan. So I don't have any plans to visit anytime soon, but that's something that's been on my bucket list for a long time, and I certainly hope that I get there.
I love it, and a perfectly respectable bucket list choice. Well, Nick, I've had a ton of fun having you on. I can't wait to hear more as your family grows and ages. I think one of the most exciting things for me about having children, which I never saw coming, was getting to re-see the world, if you will, through their eyes, seeing a place that you've been before, but seeing them look at it is just incredible.
I can't wait for that. Can't wait. It's really an exciting feeling.
Can't wait for you guys to experience it. Thanks a bunch for being on the podcast with us today. When you're not hanging out here with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Well, they can find me at our blog, The Frequent Miler. So that's thefrequentmiler.com. frequentmiler.com. Again, the T-H-E, frequentmiler.com. So that's where you find the blog. You'll find me specifically on Twitter at nick@fm. So at N-I-C-K-A-T-F-M. Or then also you can find me in the Frequent Miler Insiders Facebook group. We have a very active Facebook group with more than 8,000 members at this point. And people are constantly asking questions and getting help. So again, that's Frequent Miler Insiders on Facebook to join. I think you'll have to answer a question about a place you'd like to visit, so we know you're a real human being and not a spammer. And then you can easily find me in that group as one of the admins. Tag me if you have a question. So always happy to help people there too.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch, Nick. We've got 20 episodes or so in the books now, which means we still have over 50 boarding area bloggers to catch up with, including Nick's partner in crime, Greg, from Frequent Miler as well. If you have questions about any of your favorite boarding area bloggers, be sure to drop me a line. My email address is ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on all those social media sites at Pizza in Motion, spelt just like the food. Until next week, I'll be finding cool places to travel. We'll see you soon.